Picture a fighter jet that can operate from a public highway, be refueled and rear-armed by conscript mechanics in under 10 minutes, and go toe-to-toe with adversaries three times its budget. That's not a concept study. That's not a marketing brochure. That's the Gripen, and this week the newest version of it flew for the first time. This is ATIS on Radio Hangar. I'm Tower. And today we're talking about a story that starts in Sweden, lands in Brazil, and says something useful about how you think about any aircraft, at any level of aviation. Saab confirmed the Gripen F, the two-seat variant of the current generation Gripen E, completed its maiden flight at Saab's facility in Linköping. The aircraft flew with Saab test pilots, performed well across its initial test envelope, and the program is on track for delivery to the Brazilian Air Force. That's the headline. Here's what you need to know behind it. Today's program is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Let's start with the aircraft itself, because the Gripen is one of those designs that rewards a closer look. Saab, the Swedish aerospace company, not the car manufacturer, though they share a heritage, has been building fighters since the 1940s. The Gripen, which means Griffin in Swedish, first flew in 1988 and entered service with the Swedish Air Force in 1997. It has gone through several generations since then, and the current generation is the E and F series. The E is the single-seat combat variant. The F is the two-seater, used for training and conversion but fully combat capable in its own right. Both are powered by a General Electric F414 engine. That's the same engine family that powers the Boeing Super Hornet. That one detail tells you something about where this aircraft sits in terms of performance. This is not a light trainer. This is a capable, modern multi-role fighter that competes in the same category as the most capable Western aircraft. But the Gripen's real story isn't raw performance, it's design philosophy. Sweden developed the Gripen under a very specific set of constraints. A small country with a long coastline, a limited defense budget, and a doctrine that anticipated potentially fighting a much larger adversary without the logistical depth of a major power. The solution wasn't to build the biggest, most expensive fighter they could, it was to build the most efficient, most maintainable, most operationally flexible fighter they could. The result is an aircraft designed to be dispersed to highway strips, actual public roads that Sweden has designated as wartime airstrips for decades. Ground crews of conscripts, not career technicians conscripts, can turn the aircraft around in under 10 minutes. Refueled, rear-armed, ready to go again. The avionics are designed to be updated rapidly, almost like software patches on a laptop. The maintenance burden per flight hour is significantly lower than comparable Western fighters. The Gripen E series added an active, electronically scanned array radar, upgraded sensors, extended range thanks to additional fuel capacity, and improved electronic warfare systems. It's a substantially more capable aircraft than the earlier C&D variants, while maintaining that same operational philosophy of efficiency and flexibility. Now, none of that might seem immediately relevant if you're flying a Cessna 172 out of a general aviation airport. But the design philosophy behind the Gripen is worth understanding, because it reflects a different set of priorities than what the large American and European programs typically pursue. When the United States builds a fighter, we tend to optimize for maximum capability. The best radar, the best stealth, the best weapons integration. Cost is a secondary consideration, at least in the early stages. The F-35 Lightning II is the obvious example, an extraordinarily capable aircraft that is also extraordinarily expensive to operate per flight hour. That's a conscious trade-off, maximum capability at high cost. Sweden made different choices, and those choices have made the Gripen one of the most successful export fighters in the world. Which brings us to Brazil. The Brazilian Air Force, known by its Portuguese acronym, the Força Aérea Brasileira, or FAB, went through one of the longest and most complicated fighter procurement programs in recent memory. They called it the FX2 program. The process stretched over roughly two decades, involved aircraft from multiple countries, and became entangled in politics, economics, and national industrial policy in ways that delayed a final decision for years. The finalists were the Boeing Super Hornet, the Dassault Rafale from France, and the Saab Gripen E&F Brazil selected the Gripen in 2013. The total contract covered 36 aircraft, 28 single-seat E variants, and 8 two-seat F variants. The dollar figures involved were substantial, but the deal wasn't just about buying airplanes. It included a significant technology transfer component. Embraer, Brazil's major aerospace manufacturer, you've almost certainly flown on one of their regional jets at some point, was designated as a partner in the production of the Brazilian Gripens. Brazil wasn't just a customer, they became a partner in the program, with the explicit goal of developing domestic aerospace capability alongside receiving a combat aircraft. That technology transfer component has been closely watched by defense analysts because it represents a model that several nations have tried to use, leveraging a major defense acquisition to develop domestic aerospace capability rather than simply writing a check for finished aircraft. Whether that transfer fully materializes at the depth intended is a question that takes years to answer, but the intent was to leave Brazil with more than airplanes at the end of the contract. The intent was to leave Brazil with knowledge and industrial capacity. The Gripen E, the single-seat variant, has already been delivered to the Brazilian Air Force and is in operational service. The F variant, the two-seater, is the final piece of the initial delivery program. Getting the F's first flight accomplished means the program is transitioning into its delivery phase for the remaining aircraft. From a flight test standpoint, a two-seat variant of an existing aircraft isn't an entirely new design, but it's not trivial either. The fuselage has to be reconfigured to accommodate the second seat and all of its associated systems. The weight and balance change. The handling qualities need to be characterized and confirmed. There are two sets of controls, which means additional systems to verify and additional failure modes to account for. The avionics have to support a two-crew environment. So while the Gripen F shares enormous commonality with the Gripen E, the first flight is a meaningful milestone in its own right. We sometimes talk about test pilots in terms of heroics, the early days of jet aviation, the X-plane program, the famous names that went to the edge of the envelope. But modern flight test is largely about engineering rigor, data collection, and systematic verification. Test pilots today are as much engineers as aviators. The romantic image of someone just pointing the airplane straight up and seeing what happens is mostly history. What you actually have is a carefully planned sequence of test points, each one designed to gather specific data and expand the known envelope incrementally. The Gripen F's first flight was almost certainly a relatively conservative profile. Get the aircraft airborne, confirm basic systems operation, verify handling qualities in a comfortable envelope, land, download the data, analyze it, and plan the next flight. That's how modern flight test works. And that methodical approach is exactly what ensures that when a Brazilian Air Force pilot climbs into that cockpit for the first time as an operational aviator, the aircraft behaves exactly as expected. Let me zoom out for a moment, because this story sits at the intersection of something worth discussing at a broader level. The global fighter market is undergoing genuine change. For decades after the Cold War, American fighters were the default choice for allied nations. The F-15, F-16, and Super Hornet dominated export sales. That's still a significant part of the market, but the competitive landscape has shifted. The Gripen has found customers across Europe, Africa, and Southeast Asia, and now South America in its latest generation. The Dassault Rafael, which was a finalist in the Brazil competition, has had substantial export success in Egypt, India, Qatar, Greece, and Indonesia. The Eurofighter Typhoon has its own customer base. Multiple viable, highly capable platforms are now competing for a limited number of contracts. That competition has real consequences. It drives technology development. It drives price pressure. It gives smaller nations genuine choices they didn't have 20 or 30 years ago. And competitive pressure in any market tends to produce better products over time. The Gripen's emphasis on maintainability and operational efficiency has influenced how other programs think about lifecycle costs. The Rafale's export success demonstrated that a European alternative to American fighters is genuinely viable. That's a healthy dynamic for the overall industry. One more element worth flagging. Brazil's geography presents unique operational challenges that shaped what they needed from a fighter. The Amazon region alone is roughly the size of the continental United States. Surveillance and sovereignty enforcement across that area require an aircraft that can operate efficiently over very long distances, from a network of bases that may have limited support infrastructure. The Gripen's efficiency characteristics, low maintenance burden, high availability rate, ability to operate from austere locations, made it a logical fit for those requirements in ways that a more complex, higher maintenance aircraft might not be. Brazil has also been investing in the broader aerospace infrastructure to support the Gripen program, training pipelines, maintenance facilities, spare parts logistics. The aircraft is only part of the equation. A combat aircraft is only as effective as the system built around it to keep it flying, and that system takes years to develop. The story of the Gripen F's first flight comes from Avweb. For more on the program, Saab's published reporting on the Brazilian Gripen contract is detailed and worth reading. Find us at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Safe skies.